Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Until the Sun Falls by Cecilia Holland, narrated by Cindy Kay. Part 1. Koyuk. Temujin said, "It would be seemly to get drunk only 3 times a month. It would be preferable, clearly, to make it only twice, or even only once. It would be perfect never to get drunk at all. But where is the man who could observe such a rule of conduct?" Ye Lu himself met Sin at the door and walked behind him into the anteroom. Sin looked around at the shimmer of the silk hangings and the gold filigree and sat down.
"I'm hungry."
"As the Khan wishes." Ye Lu snapped his fingers at the slaves prostrated behind him. "Would the Khan prefer rice wine or kumis?"
"Kumis."
Rice wine was a drink for effeminate Chinese. Sin glared at Ye Lu for suggesting it. The slaves pattered away, keeping their eyes averted. Sin undid the laces of his coat and threw it off. He thought of asking Ye Lu why he had been summoned, but Ye Lu would only say that he didn't know. He probably did know. The slaves returned with a dish of meat, and Sin took it and dipped his fingers into it. "Did you ride far?" Ye Lu said. Sin chewed and swallowed.
"I came by post horse, 3 days riding."
Let him figure out for himself how far Sin had come. He fixed Ye Lu with another glare and stuffed his mouth with meat. The door from the corridor opened, and a great hulk of a man walked in. Sin's hand paused halfway to his mouth, and he stared.
"Sabutai."
He looked at the meat in his fingers and put it in his mouth. Sabutai settled himself down on cushions. He wore silk clothes, and his hair and thin gray beard were neatly combed.
"I came as soon as I heard you were here."
Sin tossed the empty bowl to one side. A slave scurried after it.
"Everyone knows why I'm summoned but me."
Sabutai had been with Batu Khan, fighting Alans and Bulgars and other nameless tribes.
"How does the fighting go in the west?"
Sabutai smiled.
"We have some kipchaks yet to run down."
Ye Lu poured kumis into 2 bowls. Slaves brought one to Sin and the other to Sabutai. Sabutai looked into his as if he expected to find a bug swimming there.
"I suppose they mean to send me on campaign," Sin said.
Sabutai smiled at his kumis.
"I shall leave the pleasure of telling you to the Ka Khan. I have been the Khan of my clan for more than 30 years. In all that while, I've taken my people to winter pasture only 4 times. This was the 5th. Would have been the 5th. You could have let an old man..."
Sabutai smiled.
"You know the Yasa. If your clan needed you, you could have refused to come."
Sin hissed through his clenched teeth.
"As for being an old man," Sabutai said.
He stroked his gray beard.
"Have more kumis." "On your father's grave," Sin said.
He lifted the cup. While he drank, he did not look at Sabutai. When he set the cup down, Sabutai said,
"Insulting me won't get you out of this. Whom did you leave with your people?" "Te Shant."
Sin wiped his mustaches on the back of his hand.
"He's been the true Khan since he was old enough to walk around a yurt. His father always off on the Ka Khan's errands." "Well, you'll have to send for him. The Ka Khan wants him too."
Sin squinted at him, thinking. It had to be the Western campaign. He wondered how Taishant would like that.
"Where am I going?"
Sabutai shrugged.
"Why? Who are we to question the Ka Khan? Khans ourselves."
"You are," Sabutai smiled.
"I am not. You tried that argument with this one's father. Do you think it will work any better with the son?" "Ogadai is no Temujin."
He watched a slave pouring him more kumis. He had run foul of Temujin more than any other man who survived it. He suspected that he had amused Temujin.
"You have a minor horde of the Altun with you, don't you?"
Sabutai leaned back. The silk coat rustled over his chest, and against it his vast, gnarled hands seemed rough as old wood.
Several, yes. Koyuk, Gadan, Budi, Baidar, Monka.
Sin winced.
And two or three others.
Your councils must be the awe of the West.
Ye Lu came in from the inner chamber. Sabutai glanced at him, turned back to Sin, and said,
I spent most of my time keeping them from killing one another.
He rose. The Universal Khan awaits you, Ye Lu said, and bowed. Sabutai bowed. Sin only nodded. Ye Lu led them in. The Ka Khan's chamber was huge and round, cushioned in silk and hung with cloth of gold, carpeted to muffle all sound. Sin refused to be impressed, but it was hard work. In the middle of it, beneath a yellow canopy, the Ka Khan sat on his gilt-trimmed dais. Jakatai sat behind him and to one side. They wore the fancy blue coats of the Yek Mongols and the gold collars of the children of Temujin. They both had their father's green eyes. Music filtered dimly into the chamber, but Sin could see no musicians. When he and Sabutai bowed, the gold of the dais reflected their feet. When they prostrated themselves, the gold reflected their faces. Sabutai rose, but Sin only rocked back to sit on his heels. Beside the Ka Khan stood a table carved of alabaster. So thin the shadow of Ogedai's hand showed through when he reached for the cup there. He lifted the cup and drank, unsteadily.
Sin Khan looks rebellious, he said to his brother.
Jakatai nodded.
So he does. Rebellion is foul, especially when the rebel is a miserable merkit. What was it that my father used to say when Sin Khan grew rebellious?
Ogedai laughed, hiccoughed, and reached for the cup again.
He said, Sin Khan, once they called you Sin the Honest, now they call you Sin the Stubborn. Dead Sin they may call you soon enough.
Jakatai nodded.
That was it. That was it exactly. What would be an amusing way of—
Enough, Sabutai said. You break the yasa growing drunken.
Jakatai blushed vividly. He turned his face away. Ogedai blinked a few times rapidly and said,
The yasa is mine. I can do it. The yasa is ours, Sin said. It belongs to your people. You are the Ka Khan. It's not right for you to act before us like an upland chief on a drunk.
He looked at Jakatai.
Nor you.
Jagatai's head turned. Of all Temujin's children, he looked the most like his father. His green eyes were dull. He held his chin too high, so that he seemed to look into the ceiling.
I am the greatest of my father's drunken sons. So great am I that I even know when a sub-chief of the sniveling, unhappy Merkits is telling me the truth.
Sin made a gesture with his right hand. His wrist rested on his knee, and he did not move it. He smiled. Jakatai saw, and swiftly made another gesture. Sabutai was furious. He said,
Stop casting spells on each other. We're getting farther and farther from the reason for all this. All the way from the Volga River I came, just to sit and listen to you behave like drunken oxen.
Ogedai and Jakatai stared at him, making their eyes round in mock surprise. Sabutai drew himself up very straight, frowning. Ogedai shrieked with laughter and fell over backward. Grinning, Jakatai glanced at him and said,
Sabutai, you amuse your Ka Khan greatly. I am sick over it, Sabutai said with massive dignity.
Ogedai sat up again.
You sit in the wrong place to see how funny the world is. Yes, I know. Sin Khan, we instruct you to ride with Sabutai to the camp of our nephew Batu, and there to serve in the campaign against—
He waved a hand.
Whatever lies west, wherever you find rebels.
Jakatai nudged him, and Ogedai shouted,
I remember.
He glared at Jakatai and swung back to Sin.
You're to take Tishant Bahadur with you.
Sin shrugged one shoulder.
You know that Monka Khan is with Batu, my Khan.
Jakatai reached across Ogedai's lap for the silver jug of wine.
Over his brother's arm, Ogodai said,
Monka and Tishan were both with you in Korea, Merkit. You handled them there. Do it again.
He took a deep breath, and his face darkened.
In the name of God, why do you all whine so much about tending to a pack of brats? Are you not both married and fathers?
Sin pretended to wipe his mustaches so that he could hide his smile.
Why did you send them all to Batu, my Khan?
I have better things to do, Ogodai said. I am the Lord of the Earth, and childish pranks and quarrels only annoy me.
Jagatai said,
Do you have someone to rule over your clan while you're gone, Sin Khan?
Sin nodded.
My son, Siddhikai.
Ogodai was contemplating the ceiling. Jagatai said,
Siddhikai is the Ka Khan's guard. He will be released from duty.
You will serve Batu as you would serve us,
Ogodai said to the ceiling.
As you would have served my father, Jagatai said.
He smiled faintly, his eyes on Sin.
As you did serve him will suffice.
Ogodai stared upward. For a while, no one said anything, until Sabutai asked,
Are we dismissed?
Oh, yes, go.
Ogodai never looked from the ceiling. Sin and Sabutai prostrated themselves again, got up, and walked out. In the antechamber, Sabutai heaved an enormous sigh.
Things are not as they were.
Sin laughed.
No, things are somewhat better, I think.
Wretched.
Oh? Even drunk, they are both cleverer than Temujin was. Not so fierce, maybe. Not so haughty.
Temujin was
less subtle than these.
Sabutai swelled up. Sin gathered his hat and gloves.
When he lived, you said as much. Often enough, you and Jebe. Does dying improve a man's mind?
He put one hand on Sabutai's shoulder and pushed.
Come along. I must find Siddhikai and see how much he remembers of his own people.
Sabutai preceded him out the door.
Batu, at least, is...
Sin waited for him to finish, but Sabutai did not. And at last, Sin said,
What do you wish of me in the West?
Reconnaissance.
They walked along the wide corridor that led to the courtyard. Two men in Turkish clothes passed them. Sabutai glanced after them disinterestedly. The smooth boards of the floor resounded under Sin's boots. Carrying bowls of fruit buried in snow, two slaves ran by, bowing in mid-step. At the door, Sabutai stepped to one side and let Sin go first. They passed into the bright sunlight of the courtyard. Sin blinked. It was cold, and he hooked up his coat.
Batu must have made some reconnaissance.
The courtyard was half empty. Three camels lay beside the gate. Sabutai stared at them.
Batu doesn't understand such things. I'm suspicious of his findings. You flatter me.
Sabutai started down the wide, shallow steps. He glanced over his shoulder at Sin.
You are the master of reconnaissance. No one ever admits it because you are a Merkit, but everybody knows it.
They don't trust me.
Sabutai lifted one arm, and across the courtyard, a groom answered with a wave.
They trusted you enough to send you to Korea. You came by post horse.
Yes.
Was it bothersome?
Better than under Temujin.
The groom was bringing two horses on lead ropes.
I don't want to fight in this war, Sabutai.
Sabutai laughed. The sound heaved out of his chest like great bubbles in water. He spun to face Sin.
I might have thought so, had you not just said so. I know you well enough, Sin. When you complain, you are happy.
He swung back to watch the horses coming.
It will be a good war.
The camp of the Ka Khan's guards lay outside Karakoram on the west. Sin rode around beneath the walls. Yellow pennants streamed from each tower and cast their shadows rippling over the uneven ground. For the Gobi, the wind was light. Two or three herds grazed south of the city, scattered across the plain.
One was the band of white mares who provided the Ka Khan with his kumis. Cities to take. An interesting problem, taking a city. Sin remembered the raid over the Caucasus more than 10 years before. If Sabutai had already beaten the Alans and the Bulgars, the Christians were the next target. Sin had seen some Frankish knights in Outremer when the Mongols fought the Great War against the Muslims. The Franks were big, limber men who rode exceptionally strong horses. They fought with swords rather than bows. He wished he'd been more interested back when they were fighting in the West. Heavy cavalry, the Franks would try to ram into an enemy line. Interesting.
Hold up, a sentry called. Declare yourself.
Sin of the Black Merkits, let me by.
The sentry jogged his horse over.
Sin Khan, our camp is honored.
The sentry bowed.
I am honored,
Sin said. He rode by. The camp stretched on across the plain toward the mountains. 10,000 yurts, all in rows, neat as Chinese writing. The officers' yurts were on wooden platforms, with steps leading up. Men lounged on the platforms before their doors. Sin rode down the central street, trying to remember where Sitakai would be, and immediately got lost. He turned down a side street. A troop of dogs yapped at him. He passed 4 young children playing in the dust, and they turned to watch him. Their eyes narrowed. The smell of meat simmering brushed his nose, and he sniffed. Finally, he asked for directions from a man loitering at the corner of a street. Sitakai was all the way across the camp. He lifted his horse into a canter. 2 great wagons rumbled past, drawn by oxen. They were full of grain. Ahead, he saw his own dark red banner. That would be Sitakai's post, and he galloped up to the yurt beneath the flying banner. The yurt was of honest felt, at least. Some of the others were silk. On the platform, Sitakai lay half-naked in spite of the cold. A Hindi slave girl played the sitar in a corner beside the door. Sin stepped onto the platform from his saddle and walked over to Sitakai, who ignored him. He rolled Sitakai over with his foot. Sitakai sprang up, his hand leaping toward his dagger.
Forgotten me already, Sin said. Your doddering old father, soon meat for the vultures.
I didn't know it was you, Sitakai said.
He put one hand to his head and groaned.
You might have called out.
Sin grabbed him by his long hair, led him to the edge of the platform, and threw him off. Sitakai howled in midair, landed on his back, and bounced up, his face red with rage.
You can't—
Drunken child, Sin said.
The Hindi girl was still playing.
Come back up here and see whether I can.
Sitakai spat into the dust. A crowd gathered in the street, laughing and calling to Sitakai. He vaulted up onto the platform again, and Sin caught him before he could steady himself and tipped him off. Sitakai landed, rolling easily on his shoulders. The crowd hissed and booed. Sitakai got up and sprang. He landed in the middle of the platform, scattering bowls and a jug across the planks. He dove at Sin before he was on his feet. Sin sidestepped him, kicked him in the thigh, caught his wrist, and whipped him off into the street. The crowd ducked, and Sitakai this time lay still a moment, flat on his back in the coarse sand.
Well,
Sin said. He pulled his belt up over his belly. Sitakai rose. The crowd screamed advice and pelted him with handfuls of sand. His shoulders were slick with sweat, and the sand clung to him. He whirled, glared the crowd into silence, and paced up and down a little, thinking it out. Sin put his hands on his hips and grinned. They were about the same height, but Sin was much heavier through the chest and shoulders. Sitakai prowled around to the other side of the platform, near Sin's horse. Sin followed him. The Hindi girl got up quietly and crossed to the other side of the door. She went on playing. Sitakai fainted, and Sin dodged to one side. Lunging, Sitakai caught him by the ankle. Sin sat down hard on the platform. Before he could get up, Sitakai was beside him. Sitakai planted one foot in the small of Sin's back and shoved. Sin flew off into the midst of the mob. He scrambled up
and whirled. "Beloved sire," Sidikai said, "how you've aged."
Sin charged. He hauled himself up onto the edge of the platform, although Sidikai tried to kick him away and straightened. Sidikai rammed into him shoulder first, and Sin wrapped both arms around his son's chest. He could feel the edge of the platform under the balls of his feet. Sidikai elbowed him, shoved, kicked, and butted him in the jaw. But Sin hung on, throwing his weight forward slightly to balance himself.
"Give up," Sidikai whispered. "These are my underlings. Do you want them to see me beaten by a toothless grandfather?"
Sin ducked his head and bit him on the shoulder. Sidikai yelled. His hands flew up, and Sin, with the thrust of his elbows, knocked him back and away. Blood ran down Sidikai's chest. Sin wiped his mustaches.
"Not yet, toothless colt."
Sidikai threw his head back and laughed. All around, the crowd cheered, beating their hands together. A crust of bread struck Sidikai accurately in the mouth. Sin glared at the crowd and waved them quiet. Sidikai said,
"Come inside. I'm thirsty." "Drunk. Old pig, I only counted one tooth."
They went into the yurt. The Hindi girl followed them. Sidikai gestured toward her.
"Do you like her? I thought I'd send her to you. The music's relaxing." "Ayaw. And when your mother saw her, we'd need relaxation."
Sin sat down with a grunt.
"You're strong for such a stick. You hurt your old father."
"Against you, nobody's strong. Like fighting a mountain."
Sidikai poured kumis into bowls and gave one to Sin. "What are you doing here? It's early for the clan to be on winter pasture."
"The Ka Khan summoned me."
Sidikai sat on his heels. Reaching behind him, he dragged a fur cloak from the couch and arranged it over his shoulders.
"If I go mad from being bitten, I shall curse you always. Why do they want you? For the China War?"
"I'm to go with Sabutai to Batu. I suspect he's having difficulty with the Altun."
"Huh. The Russians, then. Dull fighting. But you've always liked new places."
"I've been there before. You're going up to the lake and play Khan. Teshant comes with me."
Sidikai only stared a moment. Finally, he lifted his cup and drained it.
"I'm no Khan."
"You'll learn."
"I know nothing of it."
"My brothers will help you. And Malachi."
"I'd rather stay here."
"Jagatai will order you back."
"Why you?"
"Sabutai requested me, I think."
"Have you seen the Ka Khan?"
"Yes."
Sidikai turned his head and bellowed for a slave. He poured more kumis into his cup.
"They don't trust you. They hate you. Don't go."
"Why not?"
"Maybe they want to kill you. Far away, where no one will care."
"These Khans don't hate me, and they trust me, or I wouldn't have commanded 6 Tumans in Korea. If Temujin never had me killed, Ogadai won't. And it was Sabutai who asked for me. I'm sure of that."
"Are you taking mother?"
Sin nodded.
"And Artai."
"You were so trusting."
Sin shrugged. He pulled at his mustache, his eyes on Sidikai.
"Well, I'll keep it in mind. Now I've got to go. Sabutai wants to leave quickly. You ride post horse to the lake, and when you find the clan, send Teshant straight to the Volga. Batu has a main camp there. Tell him to take his mother and your mother and 2 yurts and the necessary slaves and my dun horse."
Sidikai nodded.
"Will he go?"
"He'll go or face me for it."
Sin scowled.
"What do you mean, will he go?"
"You know how he is."
"You tell him that I sent for him on the Ka Khan's order."
He stood up.
"You might say I have no desire whatsoever to command over him again, after Korea."
Sidikai's head bobbed. "Do you want her?" He jabbed an elbow at the Hindi girl.
"No. I have all the women I can handle right now, and you know how I hate music."
Sin had fought 2 campaigns in Korea. The first, a reconnaissance raid, had been the kind of fighting he liked best. Very fast, very hard, and more dangerous than usual. On the second campaign, he had taken Taishant, his eldest living son, and two of Temujin's grandsons, Bialtun Monka and Kublai. As Tuman commanders, Taishant and Monka were deadly enemies.
"Fighting Koreans was a relief," he said to Sabutai. "Do you remember how Jebe and Mukali fought?"
Sabutai grinned quickly between swallows. They were eating in a way station on the road to the Volga camp, and the food was so bad that they gulped it to keep from tasting it.
"Once I went into my yurt, and Taishant had Monka down and was strangling him," Sin said.
He had finished eating. A bit of limp cheese lay before him on the table. He pressed one forefinger into it and studied the fingerprint.
"A couple of days later, Monka knocked Taishant off his horse and tried to trample him."
"How did you get them apart?" Sabutai said.
He set his bowl down and wiped his chin. Particles of meat clung to his beard.
"I? A lowly merkit, a subchief. Nothing more than the father-in-law of one of the Altun women. Come between the woman's husband and her cousin in a friendly argument? I kept them riding in opposite directions."
Sabutai laughed and yawned.
"This campaign should be interesting. How much trouble do the Altun give you?"
Sabutai leaned back. Slaves moved around them, clearing the table and fetching kumis. The way station was all but empty. A balding captain dozed beside the door, and the smoke settled just over Sabutai's head.
"Buri and Koyuk are closer than two out of the same womb. They hate Batu. In a council, Batu's brothers will support him on any issue. Anywhere else, they quarrel among themselves. Baidar and Kaidu are the brightest and steadiest of the lot, if you want my opinion. Kaidu is a pleasant youngster. You like him.
Kadan is a damn drunk and keeps to himself. He hates Koyuk more than anything else in the world, and he rather likes Batu because of it. You'd never know he and Koyuk are brothers. Monka hates everybody."
"Even you?"
"Me, he likes. Is that a compliment, or the worst sort of insult?"
Sin undid the laces of his tunic.
"A compliment. Monka, I know, of course. I fought under Batu once against the Muslims, and I know his brothers well enough to say they're nothing. But the others, are they good commanders?"
Sabutai shrugged one shoulder.
"They're all young, except Batu and Baidar. They are brave. They've brought their personal armies, thank God, so that we have Mongols for troops instead of Kipchaks who won't learn or can't."
"Monka's men don't follow him well enough for my liking."
The night wind dragged at the yurt. Sabutai stretched his arms over his head, glanced at the captain snoring by the door, and dropped his hands to the tabletop.
"What's wrong with Monka?"
"Nothing much. He can't command three crippled oxen and a shaman's cart in a pitched battle. But he'll raid as well as any of us."
Sabutai's chest swelled up. He held his breath a moment and let it out with a sigh.
"You must know what I mean. He's not trustworthy."
"He has a vivid imagination. He can see just what an enemy should do to crush him into little bits. So he runs before they can."
"He's a coward."
"Say that to his face."
Sin yawned until the bones in his jaw cracked. Sabutai's lips quivered. Obviously, he was resisting a yawn himself. A slave came in and prostrated himself on the floor.
"My lords, your horses wait."
Sabutai groaned.
"I'm dying for some sleep." "Wait until the next station," Sin said. "Come along."
They rode steadily west, through desert bordered by blue mountains. Twice a day, they reached way stations, changed horses, and rode on. They got little sleep. Sin thought Sabutai was worried about what was happening in the Volga camp and the city called Bulgar while he was gone. Sometimes, when they had reached the second way station of the day, early in the evening, they rode on all night, dozing in the saddle, a rope tied between their horses. Twice, they met caravans going west. The camels, swaying on their great feet over the stony ground, reminded Sin of the Muslims who'd spoken of the Franks of Outremer. He spent half...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?